Man, this is awesome. Just want to welcome you this morning. I get to say the kids are dismissed this morning. This is pretty cool. Yes, I get to be on this side. So kids, if you're still here, you're dismissed this morning. They get to learn a little bit about the judges this morning. I can see the first woman judge, Deborah. Well, happy Mother's Day this morning. I want to wish my two favorite ladies a happy Mother's Day. My mom here of almost 51 years. It's hard to believe. And my wife, I think she's out here, of almost 29 years. There she is in the back. And I know that these ladies have just been amazing in my life. In fact, I know that they also love being grandmas. In fact, grandmas and great-grandmas. Am I on? I'm on, but let me try this one more time. Let me connect here. Technology. Mike has this down pat, but you want to figure this out, Robert? I need help. I need a teenager. There we are. All right, I think we're good. Thank you, Mark. Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, so these are the grandkids. And, you know, I figure Mike gets to promote his grandkids quite often, so I want you guys to see, at least I've got three of them. This is Selah and Caden and Emery. And they're just the joy of our life. Unfortunately, they're long distance, but we've got good technology these days with FaceTime. But just being a grandma, being a mother, I mean, it's hard work, isn't it? But I want to tell you, it's a little bit intimidating standing up here as a guy preaching on Mother's Day. As you can tell, I'm neither a woman nor a mother, so I don't have a lot of experience in that. But I do know that it is hard work. I brought up this old cartoon. Found this. Some of you guys remember the Family Circle cartoons? And this is what our house sometimes looked like with our four kids and a dog growing up. Remember those days? And so the younger daughter is asking this, "Hey, Mom, everybody else seems to have a hobby. What is your hobby, Mom?" Well, guess what? You can see what her hobby is. In fact, one mom said, "I never know what to say when people ask me what my hobbies are. I mean, I'm a mom. I enjoy trips to the bathroom, alone, and in silence." Right? And so sometimes, moms, that's all we get, right? That's all we get. And so sometimes our days are filled with those mundane messes, right? The dishes are piling up, the dirty dishes, the dirty laundry, right? Everything just seems to be a mess. And sometimes it can be difficult. I understand that. And some of you guys are in that mess right now. Some of you are just past that mess or way long ago. But you remember those days of just the mundane things of life. And I was thinking about that this week. That's when we are in those mundane, messy things of life. I think that's all the things that we have in common here. We're in all the different stages of life that we're in. And I understand, too, that this can be a difficult day for many moms as well, because moms, you know, we've all had moms, and some of them have gone on to be with the Lord. And maybe sometimes it's difficult because maybe you just have wished to be a mom, and God hasn't granted you that yet. Or maybe you're just a younger lady this morning, and you're looking at that, or you've done a lot of babysitting and said, "I will never have kids." But one thing that we have all in common this morning, I think, is that when we go through the messiness of life, when our foundations are shaken, or maybe when it's our health that is possibly going to be taken from us, or maybe our security is threatened, or maybe our spouse does something that we never thought possible, or maybe it's our kids or our grandkids. They're making choices we never had hoped that they would. And it's in those moments we have to ask ourselves, what are we sure and certain of? Where is our faith during those particular moments? How many of you heard of the Proverbs 31 woman? Right? Heard of the superwoman. But this morning I'm not preaching on the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm actually going to be talking about the Hebrews 11:31 woman. Some of you may not know who this woman is. So if you have your bookmark this morning, you have an indication that we're going to be, first of all, in Hebrews 11, chapter 1. Hopefully all you ladies received your bookmark this morning. This Hebrews 11:31 is in the greatest faith chapter in the Bible. We know this as the Hall of Faith, And we expect to see guys like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all these great men. But right in the middle of this faith chapter is one woman. Only one woman. And I was thinking, why is that? Why is she in this hero of the faith chapter? Well, I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 2. In order for us to know and understand who this woman is, we need to go back. So if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to Joshua chapter 2. And before you start whispering to your neighbor, is he really preaching on Rahab on Mother's Day? I want to remind you of this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, right? All, say that with me, all Scripture, right, is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that us, the people of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And that's what I want for us this morning, our prayer this morning, is that we will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. But more than that, this is a woman of faith. I want you to see her as God saw her. And I want you to see her simple faith, her sure faith, and her saving faith. So hopefully you're back there in Joshua chapter 2 with me. I'm going to take you back to those Sunday school days, right? I'm the family pastor. I teach Sunday school every morning with the kids. So hopefully you remember this story a little bit. I'm going to take you back and give you some context. All right, remember this verse, this great verse, Joshua 9, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is what? With you wherever you go. See, that's Joshua chapter 1. That's the summary of that. If you remember, the Israelites have been wandering the desert for how many years? All right, you guys are doing good. 40 years they've been wandering the desert. Why would they have been wandering the desert? Because they were way back when. Then came back and said, yes, we can do this. Yeah, there may be some giants in the land, but we can do this. In fact, one of them was Joshua. And so here's the Israelites have been wandering. They're finally at the precipice of this promised. And God's going to give it to them. And now in Joshua 1, he's saying to Joshua, it's yours. Go take it. Be strong and courageous. I'm going to be with you. And so we think this is going to be it, right? They're going to go right into chapter 2 and go right in, the march right in and take it over. But that doesn't happen until chapter 3 and 4. And so all of a sudden, right here in this chapter, it's chapter 2, we've kind of got this parenthesis. And Joshua says, okay, yeah, we're going to go in. The army's ready. The flags are up. We're ready to go. But I need something. I need some more intelligence. I need some more information. I need eyes on the ground. I'm going to send in two more spies. I want to see what's going on. I understand that from a military standpoint. I mean, I was 5 years in the Marine Corps, and when I was in the Marines, my job was military intelligence. And it was Marine Corps intelligence, and I know I've heard all the oxymorons. So don't tell me. There isn't in the Marines. And so I was able to go to the first Gulf War. I was working for the commanding general, and our job was to find out everything we could about the enemy before we started this war. And so I understand the need for good intelligence. And so Joshua's saying, I want to know what's going on in there. So as we go into the story, I want to give you this big picture. Right? God is in control. He's about to bless his people for the first time in a long time. He's been taking care of them, but they're finally going to get into the promised land. In his big sovereign plan, God is taking care of his people. But right here in this chapter, we get a glimpse of the gospel. We get a glimpse of what's to come. Because what he's saying right now in this chapter is saying, yes, I've got my chosen people. I'm giving it, this land to them. But you know what? The promised land is not just for my people. It's for the outsiders. It's for the downcast. It's for the sinners. It's for the Gentiles. It's for even ladies of the night. It's not just for one nation. So here in this chapter, we see that God's grace is so broad, it is so big, it's so encompassing, it can take in everyone. And his grace is so big, but it's also so personal. And that's what we see this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and you say, I know God's in control. I know he's got the whole world in his hands. But does he really care about me? Does he really know my situation? And we would say, yes, he does. Just by looking at the story of Rahab. Yes, she was a woman of the night, but she became a hero of the faith. And I want us to see that this morning, because God could have chosen anyone. He could have chosen a nice old grandma.
He could have chosen a hard-working mom. He could have chosen a Girl Scout. But he didn't. He chose to work through this lady of the night. And so we're in this chapter 2 this morning. And for some reason, he chooses this gal named Rahab. She's in the wrong religion. She's a Canaanite. She's the enemy. That's who they're going in to conquer. So she's got the wrong background. She's a polytheist. But she's also the wrong gender. She's definitely from the wrong profession. And there's no accidents, though, with God. We know that. Mark 10 says this. The disciples asked Jesus, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." All things are possible. And this is a story of redemption and of grace. And Isaiah 59:1 says, "The arm of the Lord is not too short to save you, nor his ear too dull to hear." And sometimes we may think that this morning. We may say, you know what, I've done way too much. His arm just feels way too short. It's never going to come down. It can never reach me. Well, let's look at Rahab this morning. It is an awesome story of God's grace. Okay, it's Joshua chapter 2. The spies have now gone into the city, this fortified city. They're going in to look, and they go in and they knock on this lady's door. And we don't know why they chose this particular door to go into. Obviously, it was built into the walls. They were about 15 feet thick. So we know there was some easy access. But I am curious as to what they told their wives when they got back. All right, honey, how'd you go? Where'd you go? Who'd you talk to? Where'd you stay? Well, I got a story about that, right? And so these guys, they knock on Rahab's door. And we find that this lady, when they knock on this door, they find a lady who has simple faith. Jump to verse 8 with me. Verse 8. So it says, "Before the spies laid down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, 'I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did in Sihon and Og, two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard all of it, our hearts melted, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below.'" So we find this lady of just simple faith. You see that the stories have gotten out. Somehow the stories have gotten out. And she's heard these things. And we know from Hebrews 11, because she's in this faith chapter, it says, "By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." We know that, but what does she have faith in, though? What is her faith in? And that's what Hebrews 11:1, I want you to just, because that's on your bookmark this morning. What is this faith? It is being sure, or the King James Version says, the substance of what we hope for, and certain, or the evidence of what we do not see. What was Rahab hoping for at that particular moment? What was she hoping for? Think about it. She was hoping for exactly what we hope for. That this God that she's heard stories about was real. That he actually cared for these people. That he could rescue them. That he could protect them. That he would provide for them. You see, if this God was real, that means he's different than all the other gods that I've been worshiping here. If this God was real, that means it's personal. That means he possibly could take care of me and my family. And so for her, it was a simple faith. She had no experience other than these stories. She has, in fact, far more faith than the Israelites did, who have experienced God's faithfulness over and over again. That's why they've been wandering in the desert, right? And they didn't have the faith and the trust. She has far more faith, I think, even to them. I love this quote, though, from Jen Wilkins. I don't know if you'd see that well or not. She posted that this last week. "The heart cannot love what the mind does not know. The heart cannot love what the mind does not know." You see, Rahab's faith was based on the knowledge of God. God that is far greater than her gods. But it was a turning point for her. It didn't just stay as knowledge. stay in the head. Her knowledge of the truth became believing, and it went to her heart. These stories became fact, and it became the foundation. It became what she was sure of. It became her hope, and she became certain of things she did not see and had not seen as of yet. In fact, her simple faith became a very fearless faith. You see, when everyone's heart was melting in fear, as we were just reading, right? Everyone's running around in fear because they believe, they understand, this army is coming in. This God of theirs is powerful. They believed. They're running around in fear. Right? Just remember what James says in James chapter 2, just like the demons, they run around, they fear. They believe, and they tremble. So they have knowledge, but no heart belief. No surety, no certainty. But Rahab says, look at verse 11 again, it says, For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. You see, she believes, and she knows this. She is sure of it. And her head knowledge has gone to her faith. When everybody else was running around in fear, she is fearless. They were all resigned to their fate, that this enemy was coming, but not her. Just like the Israelites, 40-some years ago, the fear stopped them from experiencing the blessings of God's promised land. Fear got in the way of their faith. How many of us this morning, sometimes we wake up in the middle of the night, we can't sleep, and that fear and that anxiety is right there. It's right there all the time, right? And we can struggle with our fear. And we say, Lord, where are you? Where are you? And we can just get trapped by not being able to just trust the Lord and who He is and that He is in control. Because sometimes we like to be in control, don't we? Because if we're in control, we can kind of make sure things go at least the best we can in our own ability. And maybe that's because we've been hurt before. Maybe it's because we've given our heart to somebody and they've trampled all over it. And so we allow our fear to prevent us from stepping out and trusting the Lord. And Rahab had this faith. She didn't run in fear. She ran in faith to the Lord. And she said, He is sure. He's what I hope for. I cannot see it yet, but I am certain that this God is real. It doesn't matter I'm a Canaanite. Doesn't matter what my past is, that I'm a lady of the night. Doesn't matter what my culture has been telling me my whole life. My hope is in you, Lord. And see, and it's in those circumstances, it's in those times when things are just going just terrible around us, that's where do we put our faith and where do we put our hope? See, what I love about this particular passage, this little thing, I think God showed it to me this week, was that God is just an awesome God. Because as she is experiencing in her crisis of faith and wanting to step out in faith for something she hasn't seen yet, at the very moment she's communicating this to the spies, the spies are experiencing the faithfulness of God. Why did they go into spy? Right? They went into spy to find out if God was going to be faithful, to find out we're thinking, is it safe this time to go in? So isn't that interesting that Rahab is trusting in faith? She is basically saying, Lord, I believe in something that I have not seen, and the spies are experiencing God being seen through Rahab. Isn't God awesome? Isn't God awesome? He takes care of us. He knows exactly what we need. So Rahab's faith was not just a simple faith. It was a sure faith, but yet it was an active faith. What happens when our faith is sure? We act on it, don't we? When you guys walked in this morning, I didn't see anybody picking up your chair, looking around, going, is this chair going to hold me this morning? No, right? Your faith was sure in this chair, and so you acted on it. And so when our faith is sure and certain, we act on it. And that's what James said in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead when he mentions Rahab. In fact, he mentions Rahab right after Abraham, the patriarch. What does a patriarch and a prostitute have to do? Anything in common? Their faith. Starts with a P. Their faith. Right? They trusted in who God was and they both stepped out in faith and they are both heroes of the faith. Their faith was sure and certain. And so that's what we see here, Rahab. Her faith was sure and certain before she had any assurances from the spies. Right? She gets that knock on the door. The spies walk in. And she has two choices to make. right? Door number one, right? I can save myself. I can regain some of my reputation. I can turn these guys in, maybe get a reward. Or door number two, I can trust in a God I have not seen yet, and I can hide them, and I can just see what God is going to do in this situation. And so obviously we see that she chose door number two. She hid the spies. And she just was acting out in a faith that was sure and it was certain. And I was thinking about that. How certain sometimes when we get in that situation, we are sure and we're certain. We step out in faith, don't we? And probably if I've asked many of you, you guys have stories of that. I want to tell you just a quick story of this experience in my life where we had to take this step of faith. This is a long time ago. We had just the girls. I'd just gotten out of the Marine Corps, and I was coming back up to Bellingham, Washington to start my seminary degree. And through some things happening there, God basically said it's not going to happen quite yet. So I was taking night school and working as a general manager of a hotel. And we bought our first Victorian house and fixed it up. And 5 years had gone by in this situation. I'm still going to school. I'm working in the hotel industry. And I'm going, Lord, man, I'd love to get into ministry again full time. I mean, that's been my desire for many years. And so he presented that opportunity to me. And he said, basically, you've got two choices. You can stay and do what you're doing, or you can take a step of faith and move to a place you never thought you'd move to, 12 hours north of the border. So we packed up all of our stuff. A friend of ours put it all in a U-Haul for us. We took our two girls and our dog, and we ventured north, 12 hours into northern Alberta. It is cold up there, let me tell you. When we got out of that truck that middle of January, it was minus 25. And it gets colder than that. And so we were just going, Lord, what are you going to do up in this place? How are you going to provide? We didn't know exactly all the details. And we ended up living in this little house, this little manse, right off the church property. A little two-bedroom place that had a dirt floor. Pretty interesting. But shortly after this, living here, actually these are the moose that were hang out in our front yard. So I'd have to kind of go around them on the way to church, you know, on the other side of the parking lot. So it was kind of interesting and fun. But yeah, we were finding out that God was giving us another child. And our son, he's graduating next month, actually. And so in this step of faith, God just kept saying and providing. And then one day, a gentleman in the church came and said, Scott, I know you're American. You're one of those Yankees south of the border. And we want to help provide, and we're going to build you a house. So he laid out the plans, and he got all the tradesmen in the church, and they built us this five-bedroom house. And they said, we'll help you get a mortgage and everything. And I said, man, Lord. See, we couldn't even sell our house in Bellingham. It sat vacant, that Victorian there, for a year. And we kept saying, Lord, how are you going to provide both and what are you going to do? And we can't get credit. We're Americans up here. And God laid out every single situation and gave us an amazing blessing. You know, I don't miss the cold, but I definitely miss that $600 mortgage. Saving faith. Simple faith, sure faith, saving faith. You know, because that's what ended up happening here with Rahab. Her faith was simple, but it was sure. I mean, she goes to the spies after she's hidden them, right? We know that the king sent some other men, and they came looking for her, or looking for them. They obviously weren't very good spies because they showed up pretty quick. And where are these guys? And she ends up saying, well, you know what? You know, they were here, but I don't know where they went. And so she sends them on a wild goose chase. So after they go and they go looking for them, she goes up and talks to these spies. And she says, we need to talk. I've heard these stories, right? There is a God that you serve that is far greater than my gods. Will you save me? Will you save me and my family? And so these spies, they have an agreement with one another, and they say, yes, we will. Anybody that's in your house, anybody in your place will save you. Right? But anybody outside, we're not going to save. So they got to stay right in this house. In fact, I want you, in order to show that you're still in this agreement, I want you to put this red rope outside your window. And so they make this agreement with Rahab, kind of our life for your life. And think about that. That's the assurance that she had. So think of it. She's going to go to her family. She's going to explain to them, Mom and Dad, the enemy's out there. You can probably see them. They're going to come. I mean, our life as we know it is about to come to an end. But guess what? We're going to be saved. I'm in agreement with these spies. And we're going to be saved. And they're going to go, great. How do you know, Rahab? How do you know? Well, all we have to do is tie this red rope out the window. That's all we have to do. You can imagine maybe their expressions, right? Like, what? This rope is going to save us from an invading army? And so you could just see, maybe picture that family dynamic, right? Brothers kind of ribbing their sister. And so this is what's happening. So you picture there, so they're in this house. A few days go by, right? And remember the old cartoons or the old pictures there? A few days go by, and all of a sudden they see this army gathering outside the window. They're like, this is it. This is the day. This is what's going to happen. Right? And they show up, and they see this massive army, all the flags raised, and they see the marching, and they're getting ready. And then what happens? They kind of march right on by, don't they? No noise, just marching. And they're like, what? Maybe they're looking at you going, what just happened? That's not what I expected. All right. So, obviously we've heard stories of this God. He does some strange things. But think about it. The spies, the Israelites are experiencing their own crisis of faith, right? They're an army. They've never heard of this. They've never heard of conquering a city, just marching around. And so day two comes and the same thing happens. Day three, the same thing happens. Day four, by day five, you could just picture what these brothers and family are saying, right? Rahab, what is going on? What is going to happen here? Why is this army just marching around in circles? And day seven comes, and they march once, twice, three, four, five, six. How many times? Seven times. And on that seventh time, that's when those trumpets blast. That's when the shouts begin to happen, right? And you could just picture. And then so all of a sudden, the army is going, okay, we're trusting you, Lord, in this as well. And so Rahab and the family begin to picture, if you picture them, they begin to maybe hear another sound. They hear the crackling of the walls. They hear the crumbling of the walls around them. Maybe they start hearing some screaming. And this army just begins to rush into the city of Jericho. And you just picture what they're doing. And maybe they're huddled around this rope, sitting there just going, Lord, are you real? I mean, you can just picture, right, the screaming going on. They're coming in to invade this place. All they've had was the assurances of these spies and the stories. And this is where the faith really comes into practice, right? When we are in those times as a family, right, when we're trusting the Lord, we're right in the middle of it. When everything seems to be crumbling down around us, we're saying, Lord, are you real? Lord, I need to trust in you. I want to put my hope in you. And there's this fear, but also there's this faith. And you can just picture that family just kind of maybe huddled around each other, and they're just going, Lord, we trust you. We trust you, Lord. And then they hear another sound. Maybe they broke down the door. And they say, are you Rahab? If you're Rahab, you see the rope, and you are saved. Your whole family here is saved. Can you imagine the relief that they had? Can you imagine? I mean, they knowing that they're the only ones in all the people that they've known. You see, this was what Rahab said. She's saying the rope didn't save her. You've got to realize that. The rope didn't save her. Her trust in the character of who God is saved her. She trusted in a God that has proved himself faithful over and over again. And she is experiencing it now for the very first time. The rope didn't save her. It was a promise. It was a symbol. Remember, it's a symbol of what the Israelites experienced back in the Exodus. Remember, God was going to save them from Egypt. And he said on that last plague, he said, I want you to trust me. I want you to kill a lamb. And I want you to put that blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And if you trust me in this, then your firstborn son will be saved. It's a promise. I want you to trust me. And they did. They killed that lamb. And those who did that, their firstborn was saved. It's a promise. It's a symbol. But it's also for Rahab a symbol of what's to come. 1,000 years in the future to another lamb that's going to come. Another lamb that was going to give his life. And this lamb was going to be shed. This blood was going to be shed. But it was going to be the last time. Because it was God's son. And his son was going to die. God's son, it says, for God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son that whoever does what? Believes. Head belief? No. Heart belief. Whoever believes shall never perish, but will have eternal life with me. It was a promise. And that's what God is promising. What are you holding on to this morning? Maybe you're holding on to that fear. Maybe you've been holding on to your past. I understand that. I struggle with that. I wish I would have made other decisions. I wish I would have done something differently. And we hold on to that past. Maybe you're holding on to stuff or relationships. You see, Rahab had to give up all of that. She had to let go of everything. She had to give all of that up and say, Lord, I am trusting you. My faith is sure. My hope is sure in you. And it is certain in things that I have not seen as of yet. What are we holding on to this morning? And some of you may be struggling with that, saying, is my faith sure? Is it? It may be simple. It may be a simple faith. That's okay. God says, you need to come to me. Jesus said, come to me just like little children. Right? We love children. Man, I love my grandkids coming to me and hopping in my lap. Man, their faith is so simple. Right? They love you. He says, come to me. Simple faith. Trust me. But it needs to be sure. Sure in who I am. Sure in my character. And sure, it leads to active faith. Active faith is going to trust him no matter what, no matter what we're going through. And he says, if we're going to do that, I will save you. Sometimes, maybe we're in here this morning, you've never put your trust in the Lord. Maybe you've never said, Lord, I'm going to finally give you my heart. It's all been up here. We've rested on our head knowledge. We've rested on our understanding maybe most of our life. But it's never gone from here to here. And we've never said, Lord, I am yours and you are mine and I trust you no matter what. You see, there's an awesome conclusion to this story. Because picture Rahab, okay, she's been rescued. Joshua, chapter 6, we find out that Joshua spared Rahab with her family and all who belonged to her because she had hid the men Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And so she lives among the Israelites to this day. So she's now, picture this, years later, she's living amongst the Israelites. She's given up her past, obviously. She's been forgiven of that. And now she's living. She's experiencing the joys of the promised land. And then we find out this. I get to do this for the first time. I always wanted to do this with my finger. I know you can't see that very well. Well, that didn't work. Okay, don't trust in technology. Trust in the Lord. Ah, it's back. I want you to see just this last slide because it is just... No, anyway. We find out in Matthew 1, right? And you couldn't see it anyway. But she is now years and years later, right? She's living in the land. She marries a gentleman named Solomon. And they have a boy named Boaz. Boaz grows up, and who does he marry? Ruth. Man, go back and read that story, that awesome story of Ruth in the Bible, right? And so little did we know that years and years and years later that she would be the great, 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 great grandmother of who? Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't God amazing? Isn't God amazing? That he would choose an He would choose even a lady of the night to be in his family tree? God's love, his grace is so awesome. And Rahab is saying this morning, she's saying, God could save me if he could choose me, a lady of the night with simple faith who had no evidence, he can choose you. He can love you. He can forgive you. He can bring you and adopt you into his family. It's never too late. His arm is not too short to save us. Amen? Let's pray.